Hey, all you Game Pass or Pass subscribers, Corey here. I want to give you a quick heads up about this episode and that you can probably still hear it in the background. A buddy of mine is watching a movie in the living room. I have an Atmos setup. It's very loud. I thought I could drown it out because I was not getting any waveforms on my recording software, so I thought I was good. But in post, unfortunately, it came through. So in order to sort of drown that out the best I could, I had to sort of degrade the quality of my voice and my track. So this one might be a little bit louder than normal. So if you're listening on headphones or in your car or something, maybe turn it down a little bit before it starts. And I just want to give you a heads up about that. This isn't our normal quality. So I did my best, but if you hear car rumblings in the background, that's why. So hope you enjoy it. Have a good E3. It is now time for the second take of this E3 edition of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service, tell you which games to pass on to your friends and which games to simply pass on by. That's not what we're doing this episode. It is E3 time. I am Corey. I am joined by the man who is late, even more late now, Basher.
No one told me it was E3 time. I thought it was wake up late with a hangover time, but whatever, to each his own.
All I'm going to say is we haven't played Knockout City together yet, so I don't know how you thought we were going to do Knockout City when we haven't conquered the world together.
I don't need your help. I'm already a god.
Okay, but imagine what we could do together.
There's going to be one god, except the Highlander remake, and then it might be like two. I don't know how that's going right now.
You need to play more Doom Eternal. We're not here to talk about that. E3 has happened. E3 is kind of a weird thing. It disappeared last year. It doesn't really need to exist anymore, but it's still an exciting time. Ubisoft's there. Square Enix just had a thing. Microsoft had their thing. And it's a weird, weird thing because all these events sort of happen. They show off games, and sometimes we don't know what to think about them. Sometimes they're convoluted. Sometimes they're boring. Sometimes they're exciting. They're all over the place. But on this show, since we talk about Game Pass, I thought maybe we would get our hot takes. This is initial reactions, the conference thing. Why do we still call them conferences? They're basically just trailers and ad reels. But my point is hot takes. We're going to be talking about our feelings on Microsoft's E3 2021 presentation. So initially, I want to say this at the top of the episode too. We're not going to be going over the whole thing, breaking it down for you, because I feel like that's what everyone does. If you're here, you probably saw it, right? So I don't think there's any benefit in us going down, well, this is what they announced. We're just going to give our raw takes as Game Pass players. How are we feeling?
Top to bottom, I thought it was a pretty decent showing. I wasn't blown away, but I wasn't let down either. I like the way it flowed. It was all right for me.
Yeah, I feel kind of the same way. I think that in the past, again, E3 is kind of a weird thing. Like, these shows get hyped up, right? These shows get hyped up as, like, this is the big one. This is it. And every single year, whether it's Sony, Nintendo, whoever, Microsoft also has a bad history of being, like, the most diverse and biggest Xbox lineup ever. And they say that every single year. I think they're a victim of their own advertising. But this one was a little bit different because they've got Game Pass, which is in full swing. And they've also got Bethesda now. This is the first time they've ever talked as officially owning that company. So they had a lot to talk about. I'm with you in that I didn't have expectations. I did not have a lot of hype going into this, but I left it being, that was cool. Like, I'm, as a Xbox player, whether that's on PC or on the console, I understand why I am a Game Pass subscriber. And I think it makes sense now. And in some ways, Xbox is dead, right? Like, they don't talk about anything when it comes to Xbox unless it's Xbox Game Pass. It's almost as if, like, that is their platform now. It is no longer the console and the PC. It's Game Pass,
right? That's definitely the feeling that I got. They're really trying to sell Game Pass as that subscription. You know, it's like, this is what you need, whether you're on Xbox or PC, or, well, who knows where it may go after that, because at this point, it's really a solo in service. And the service is looking pretty good for the next couple upcoming years. They showed a lot of games that were diverse. They tried the best to hit a lot of different genres. I mean, we'll go through them, obviously. Like, I saw some a couple of RPGs I just kind of rolled my eyes at, because I feel like it's like a checklist for them. Like, we have to give it one more shot, like we always do. But I think they really covered the bases, and I think they leaned into some of the things they do well.
Yeah, for sure. It's interesting to see what games end up on Game Pass first. And that seems to be, you know, when the service sort of first launched, the idea of games launching into Game Pass that were not Microsoft, it seemed like a special thing. You know, it was like every once in a while you're going to get that big Microsoft game, you know, the Halos, the Forzas, the whatever's coming from Bethesda, you know, and that was kind of the marquee of just like, you know, if you're going to buy Forza, why not get this anyway? But they, like, a big one for me was Back 4 Blood. Back 4 Blood is coming day one on Game Pass, and that's awesome. Like, that is a game that I really wanted to play, and I was probably going to buy anyway. But that's a game where it's hard to get excited about unless you've got someone going in with you. Unless you've got a buddy or a group of friends that are going to come in with you, because that's mainly what that game's about. It's about playing with friends. You can play those games alone, but it's not fun that way. So the fact that's coming on Game Pass day one is awesome, because I can force you to play, and I can force Randy to play, and I can force Chris to play. So I already got a crew ready, and there's no, I shouldn't say no commitment, because that's not a thing, but that's the other thing. Microsoft has made it so easy is not the word, but it's, if you have an Xbox and you don't have Game Pass, you're doing it wrong. And I know we've said that before, but they keep proving it, that you just have Game Pass. Like, there's no reason not to at this point.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, I bought a friend of mine a month of Game Pass just because, like, she just bought a new PC. She wants some games to play. I'm like, here's $10. Play all of Game Pass for a while. You know, see what you like, see if it works for you. I mean, I think this conference is showing just a stronger reason to have Game Pass. Whether you like most of the games, none of the games, half the games, it's still just a lot of good quality work, I feel like.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm repeating myself. I want to commend them on, I don't want to say commend them, but my issue with Microsoft and their presentations in the past is like the internet meme about Xbox is that it's got no games, right? And they have made strides to correct that, and they've purchased all these studios, but Microsoft has like, what, 20, 26, 27 studios now or something? Or no, I think it's 20, 23, but the rumor is they've got three more. But the point is they have over 20 studios, right? And the problem with that is they bought a lot of those studios at the end of cycles, at the end of dev cycles, or they were already working on something, so it's not exclusive. Like, Psychonauts 2 is finally coming out in August, I think it is, maybe September. But that's not an exclusive game, right? Like, Starfield, they showed off Starfield finally. That's an exclusive game, but that's a 2022 game. Like, The joke has always been, wait till next year, wait till next E3, because that's when they're really going to show the games. But it seems like it's going to start working for them, because they've got all these studios. And yeah, my point is that the third party exclusive, like, that was a thing during the 360 days. Like, BioShock was originally a Xbox 360 game. The first Mass Effect was an Xbox 360 game. The third party exclusive is almost gone. Like you don't see them very often. Every once in a while, like, PlayStation does it. Like, they did it with Street Fighter V because they helped fund that game. But it seems like Microsoft is now sort of, instead of doing the third-party exclusives, they've bought all their studios, and they are using day one on Game Pass as the new third-party exclusive. Back 4 Blood is coming on PlayStation and PC, but It seems almost silly to buy it on PlayStation if you have a PC or Xbox, right? Like, that seems kind of weird, because you can pay a lot less and play the same game. So it makes sense to me, and I commend them for focusing on that. Because even though that they've had Game Pass before, their E3s are usually just like, they just vomit out like 50 games coming to Game Pass, and or just coming to Xbox and PC. And it always seemed like that was a reaction to Xbox got no games on Twitter. And they're like, well, wow, we got 50 of them. But they seem to be very focused this time on being like, play on Xbox because of Game Pass, but we're still going to have the Battlefields. We're still going to have the Call of Duties. Like, everything you want is here. And I think that's an extremely strong argument. And not only that, it's a unique argument. It's an argument that the competition does not have. And I want to give them credit for trying something different and sticking to it.
I completely agree with all of that. The
how boring.
The caveat I would add is, though, is with all these developers, with all this diversity, with all these games, it's going to come to a point where, well, for these games to stand out, because right now, in my opinion, Game Pass itself as a service is what's selling, is standing out. For these games specifically to stand out, Xbox gamers have to actually play these. They have to actually adopt these. The long-standing issue with Xbox and that meme of they have no games is, I'm sorry, but it just comes down to the Xbox gamer. Like, they don't, they like Call of Duty, they like Forza, they like Halo, they like Gears of War. That's what they buy an entire console for. With Game Pass, I'm hoping that changes a lot. And people, and Xbox gamers specifically, say, oh, what is 12 minutes? Let me give that a shot. Psychonauts, I myself didn't buy the first one. So, like, Psychonauts 2 coming out, let's give that a playthrough. They might have, I think they showed like a good 25 games or something. They might have a good 15, like, classic games right here. But Xbox games are going to have to play. And I think Game Pass is the last kind of like shot for that. Like, if you don't play these games now, then you're just a Call of Duty guy, or you're just a racing guy, and that's just, and that would be unfortunate, I think, for a lot of these studios.
I think that the numbers have sort of proven that it is worth it. Obviously, there's still gonna be people that are buying it. They subscribe to Game Pass because they want to get the next Forza, you know, and that's the customer that Microsoft loves, because they get $10 from you a month, maybe 15 if you've got Ultimate, and you really only play 3 games a year on it. Maybe you're losing money, maybe you're not, but maybe you're breaking even, whatever. But I think the numbers are showing, the statistics are, that Game Pass players play more games, and maybe they're not playing all of them. Maybe they're not, you know, maybe they are loading up Knockout City one time and saying that for me. But I think it's important that they are making game discovery common on that platform.
Right.
Saying, like, it's easy for me to just, I don't know what this game is, maybe I'll give it a shot.
Yep.
I'm the type of person where, like, we try that on this show quite a bit, but even the games that we are, it's very rare that we go in completely blind. You know, we pay attention enough that we usually know what everything is. So I think it's a little hard for us to judge that maybe from the outside in, but it seems from what they're talking that it's working. And I think that's a extremely strong point. Like you said, they showed, like, I think they showed 29, I think they showed 30 games with 27 of them coming to Game Pass day one. And all of them, I believe, were at some point this year or next year of everything that they showed. So that's crazy. Like, that, there's 27 games, and that's just the stuff that they have announced. There's other stuff that's coming that they haven't announced. And that's, they're making the argument again for Game Pass seem silly. But it is, it's kind of weird that, I mean, I joke when I say Xbox is dead, but is Xbox dead? Like, is Game Pass Xbox now? Am I crazy?
I mean, I feel like the brand itself is dead. And then, you know, cause I mean, like, yeah, I mean, you can almost go by just the sales compared to a PS5, you know, or not even just the sales, but just the zeitgeist. Like, all the memes are jokes about having a PS5 or being the worst person in the world, you know. It's like, so, like, I think it's just part of the things that they're leaning into. It's like, well, if that's not going to hit, that brand's not going to hit, this, let's move on to this brand, you know. Like, so, like, to answer your question, I think the Xbox brand itself is dying, and Microsoft is like, go ahead, we still, but you're going to know about Game Pass. You're going to know a lot about Game Pass.
Right. So I think, you know, from a business perspective, I think this accomplished its goal. It was a solid showing. It had a lot of cool stuff. What stood out to you? What were the games or that either stood out for good reasons or bad reasons?
So it's, So anything I didn't show, and this is not Microsoft specific, this is across the board, anything that is not an established franchise that does not show in-game footage, I don't care.
Right, like that. What was that Avalanche game called?
It was the Contraband.
Contraband, like that. What is that? What is it?
I don't care. I honestly don't even care because it's the nature of the showing. Like again, like if you drag Kojima out and you put a teaser trailer and it's a guy wearing a bandana, it's like day negative one. You get my money because we know this is an established franchise, established character, so on and so forth. So anything I did not show in game footage of an already established franchise, I didn't care. So like all those are washed for me.
Yeah, I agree. Microsoft has gotten a lot of flack, especially last year. Last year they had almost no gameplay. This year they had a lot more gameplay. But at the same time, it's strange that I don't want to say everyone else has figured this out because they have not. Sony's guilty of it, but Sony is usually very good at showing gameplay of showing like this game isn't a, like it just. I find it strange that it just isn't across the board. That's like, stop doing these CG trailers. Like they must resonate well. They must test well or something, because to me, they don't make any sense because it's not a representation of the final game. It's just weird that they haven't figured out. Even Nintendo's even figured this out.
and they spent so much time on it. Cause like it ends with, right. Like, what did you, I hate how they do the conferences sometimes because it's Forza Horizons was sexy looking. It was super sexy. And
that game
it was second to last. It ends on Redfall.
Right. It was, yeah.
Like, what are you like? That's stupid. It's just flat out dumb.
As a Forza Horizon fan, it was awesome to see them that they really dove into that game, and that is kind of that. And Halo are their games this year. Flight Sim is coming on my birthday, actually, and. That's cool. Like for me as an Xbox gamer, I want to play Halo. I want to play Flight Sim, and I'm dying to play Forza Horizon. I love Forza Horizon. So it was really cool to see them give it that respect, I guess you could say. But then when they ended on that Arcane game that didn't really have any gameplay, like to me that specifically was a this is why we bought Bethesda, like for games like this. But like you said, it's just I don't know what that game is. The concept looked neat, like this idea of like a almost like a co-op vampire shooter, like that's cool, right? But I don't know how it plays. It doesn't tell me anything. It's very strange that they closed on that.
Yeah, that's definitely the when you watch a band play live and you know it's the last song, you're like, all right, let's leave a little early and get to the car before the parking lot becomes a parking right. lot. So from top to bottom, Stalker 2 was like the first one they showed off, and right off the bat it bored me. It didn't show, it was straight gameplay, but it wasn't anything.
It looks like Stalker, I'll say that.
And I didn't play the first one just because it looked like Stalker.
Right.
So I'm like, it did nothing for me.
That game looks really good, but it looks like Metro to me in that I know people love those games. I've played Metro 2033 and Last Light. I finished them. They're just not for me. That sort of slow, methodical sort of shooter, it just doesn't do it for me. But like I said, that game looked really good. That game looks cool. That for the people that want to play that game, I think that game is going to hit well. I'll probably try it out again. That's the magic of Game Pass. Because who knows? Maybe it will hit me and I'll enjoy this one. Maybe it just the trailer just wasn't doing it for me. But that looked really cool. I think it's kind of neat that they are going that hard into Stalker. Out of all the franchises you see Microsoft trying to put their weight behind, it's weird that they're doing Stalker. But it is what it is, I guess.
It is and it isn't. They know their bread and butter. Like, you got it. Like, at the end of the day, you're a shooter console. You should, like, whatever your shooters are, you need to revive those and stick with those. I didn't see anything in that trailer that shooting wise that made me go, ooh, I need to pick that up. It was just very point and click. Like, this, see that enemy? You go over there, you shoot it, and that's it. Like, well, there was no extra kind of thing there that was like, this makes this FPS stand out. It just looked like a FPS with good graphics to me.
I think that game's gonna be all about atmosphere and weapons, because the weapons look very unique. We'll see. I believe that was supposed to come out this year, so them announcing a 2022 date, I believe, is a delay, which is kind of disappointing. But it is what it is, I suppose. So, anything else stick out to you?
Back for Blood was the next one. Loved it. That game
looks fun.
I mean, it's Left 4 Dead, so I'm in. Like, everybody's in. Yep. Like, literally the entire world's in. Like, it's like, they didn't even need to show it. Like, right. Like at this point.
That game just looks like pure fun. And it looks like it's going to be at 60 frames on consoles, which is nice. So hope it has crossplay. I think they've already announced that it does, but that'd be one I really hope it has crossplay. So, Flight Sim, that's one that I'm looking forward to. We've done an episode on it. I really enjoy Flight Sim. But what I'll say is that I want to enjoy that on my console. I want to sit back in front of my giant TV, my giant OLED, and experience that game in all its glory. So I'm really looking forward to that console release on that one. I'm assuming you probably don't care as much.
Not at all. It's you're flying a plane. That's just not that's not a thing. Sea of Thieves. I want to.
Oh man, I forgot about
it. It's giving me a reason to boot it back up. I'm just hoping. I know they didn't.
That looks cool. Like, come on. Nobody expected
that. No one expected it. But at the same time, I know. Like, what I want from that game, I cannot get in Sea of Thieves. I would have to get in Sea of Thieves too. So I know we're going to go back, play the Jack Sparrow storyline for all of 2 hours, and then forget we have that game again.
But what I'm going to say is those 2 hours are going to be awesome.
I'm
looking forward to it.
Yeah.
So, and it's like next week. So.
Oh, is it? Oh, we're going in.
Yeah.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be fun. So it's it's so amazing the turnaround that game has had. It's one of the few games, like, we've done the No Man's Skies. You know, we've done the games that, quote, turn it around, the Destinies, but that's the only one that stuck with me. That's the one I played on day one and was like, man, there's something here, but it's not here yet. And I get it. You know, that game is cool. So, they announced a Plague Tale sequel.
That's funny. I chuckled at that one. Like, who's asking for that?
I think we're in the minority on this one.
Yeah, it seems like it.
People love that.
They're going in on this game.
I don't get it.
No, it's not there. Like, we passed on it like pretty harshly. If I remember correctly, it's just it did not end well and did not play well. So I don't understand why you people want another one.
Yeah, I don't know either. But whatever. It's coming. It's a Game Pass game day one. So who knows? Maybe that one will be better. So, like, again, let me try that in English. Like I said before, again, I think the strength of that game was that was a small team. And that's actually the same team that makes Flight Sim. But the engine that they use and that the tools and stuff looked really, really good. So them getting maybe they'll go hard on it and that, and this one will be better. So.
Battlefield, I think is their best looking shooter.
That game,
that's the best looking shooter of this show. It looks so much better than Halo. It looks so much better than Far Cry. Like, I'm impressed by Battlefield.
For a Battlefield game,
did you see that game? It looked
really cool.
Like, I know. Listen, I know you wait 2-3 months to play it. It's going to be broken at launch. I get it. I'm okay with that at this point. Because I'm not that person who needs to buy a game day one. So I will happily wait. But when that game gets up and going, that looks phenomenal. Like, that is by far the best shooter they showed all day.
Yeah. Again, it's a hype trailer. Battlefield trailers never play like they look. But yeah, We'll see. I want to get excited for it, but at the same time, I think part of the thing is that, like, I didn't really... Battlefield Hardline, really didn't like it. Battlefield 5, really didn't like it. Battlefield 1, wasn't a fan of it. Like, I just wasn't a fan of them sort of going back to all these, and I just didn't like the way those games played.
Right.
But I really enjoyed Battlefield 4 when it launched.
Sure did.
Xbox One and PS4. So, this looks more of that. This
exactly.
Looks like more of the Battlefield that I enjoy. So, I'm looking forward to that one. But you said the H word. You said Halo. They did show Halo kind of awkwardly, just sort of in the middle of the show.
Yeah, I again, like I'm in that camp of Halo has no lore or story or plot, so I don't care. I just come from Master Chief shooting things. So the whole kind of story reveal trailer of like my girlfriend Katana, like where is she? Like, like you're a grown man. Like give this character a real life friend. Like this whole thing of, if you sit back and think about Halo for just a second, like realistically, Master Chief is one of the saddest characters ever. Like the man has no just life friends or anything. So the story trailer I just kind of scoffed at, but the multiplayer trailer, it being free to play as well, like that's interesting. Good news, however, like I think I just might be over Halo. I will definitely play it, obviously, because it's free to play. But I don't think that's going to be my shooter.
Yeah,
it didn't do anything super Halo.
The campaign part. What was that?
It didn't do anything like super kind of like the multiplayer. Speaking of, didn't do anything like super kind of like Halo-y. If that makes any sense at all, it looked like more Halo, and which is good for Halo fans.
Well, so I'll say I'm a Halo campaign person. I enjoy those campaigns. I know that they're dumb, and I think your criticisms are valid, but I think people that have been playing Halo for this long, they like the bull crap, you know, I'm on it. You know, it's not quite Fast and Furious level, but it's gone so many places, it's done so many things that you're either on board or you're not, kind of thing. I'm on board. So that story part was cool, but that was not the redemption for that game that it needed to be. They did not show it off in any capacity, especially from the story perspective, that sort of made good on that gameplay demo that they did last year. The gameplay demo they did last year was not good. It was not. It's not going to sink the game, but they needed to come back a lot stronger, especially because this game got delayed for a full year. I expected them to come out not swinging, but at least being like, this is how the game looks now. They did like a very brief like flyover of the world, and it looks nice, but I think it's super strange that there wasn't even like a 1 minute sizzle reel of the story. So I should say of gameplay of the story. So it was reassuring that they're like, look, you're playing as the Master Chief. You got your cheesy story. You got your music in the background. This is what you like. And I was like, yes, this is what. And then when it cut to multiplayer, I was like, wait a minute. You need to show me the rest of that. It was just weird. But the multiplayer, I agree that to me, the things that stood out is it did look like Halo. And now if you go back and you remember Halo 5 made a lot of changes. There was mm-hmm. a Spartan charge. There was the jetpacks. There was aim down sights, all that.
Yeah.
They didn't show any of that. So I wonder if all that's gone. I wonder if all that's gone from the game. I wouldn't surprise me if it is, but
on top of that, like, and I hate to sound like that guy, like graphics, but I mean, like, I think Microsoft really kind of forgets this is your baby. Like, this is your child. Like it should be Battlefield level great in terms of how it even looks. I just don't get that. Like, it has the Halo style that I appreciate, but that style is not popping like a new gen game should pop. Like when I see like Ratchet and Clank being played on PS5, that's what I kind of want from a Halo. Like, this is your thing, your system, your console. Like, go all the way out. And like, it did that for visually, and it didn't do it gameplay wise either, because the sizzle reel for the multiplayer was way too short, I thought. It didn't show enough new in it, and I think that's what was getting me. It was like, it looks like Halo, which looks fun, but did not show enough new. It didn't show like an Uncharted sizzle reel of single player campaign either, where it's like, look at this amazing set piece. Like, it's almost like riding on the, you know, Halo, you like Halo, just buy Halo.
Yeah, and but I agree when you it says like Microsoft remembers it's their key franchise when they need it to be. Like, it was supposed to be the game. It's like, we launched the original Xbox with Halo, and we're launching the Series X and S with Halo Infinite, and that didn't happen, kind of thing. But then last year, when it was still a launch game, they showed it first. Like, they're like, this is the game. This is the reason you're buying an Xbox. And now that the Xbox is out, it's almost they're just like, well, I guess we didn't need it, because people are still buying the console, and we're all about Game Pass. It's just, they're very wishy-washy on whether or not they know this is their key franchise or not. For this to be sort of stuck right in the middle of this conference and not get... Like, Stalker had more gameplay and more time
sure
than Halo Infinite did.
Sure,
like,
did.
This should have had the same treatment that Forza did. You should have opened with it, and then you should... Or vice versa. You should have opened with Forza and closed with Halo. Like, those are key franchises for you. I find that extremely strange. At the very least, they needed to come out and just say, like, we're not showing it now because we want to give it its own space, but, like, we're going to be showing you an hour of gameplay on this date. You know, something. Nothing. Just nothing. And that's concerning. That is very concerning as a Halo fan. I also find it strange that they are doing free-to-play on the multiplayer, because that's... Maybe it's not, but that's still going to be a box product, right? That's still going to be a $60 product for the campaign only then? Like, that's weird to me. I wonder what that, how that box product is going to look. It probably doesn't really matter, because you should have Game Pass anyway.
The box product, yeah.
I thought that was strange.
I guess just to stay on to the shoot aspect of things, I want to say maybe two games later, Far Cry 6 came up, and it's like, so you're doing almost close to back-to-back shooters, and even Far Cry 6 had more, like, wow-like moments. And I'm over Far Cry as a series, but the things they showed in that short trailer was just kind of like, look at all this cool stuff you can do, like, and that you probably couldn't do in the first one. So, like, Halo Infinite definitely needs its own kind of 30-minute to an hour just showcase.
It's super strange. Like, you know, we talked about this. I don't know if we talked about it on the air, but it's like that game needed a redemption and it didn't get it, and that's concerning. We'll see how that goes. I don't want to keep harping on it, but Forza Horizon 5, that was kind of they spent the most time on that one. If you watched it live on Twitch, I highly encourage you to go back and find the actual 4K footage, because that Twitch stream was very, very rough. It was very pixelated. But, dude, that game looks freaking cool. Like, just, I love Forza Horizon, and that game just is hitting all the notes of my brain. Like, I want to play that game now.
Yeah, that was, as someone who is not as much of a Ford person, or just racing fan in general anymore, really. I honestly think Forza Horizons was dang sexy. Just absolutely just stunning. But
I've been trying to get you to play a Horizon game forever. And now you're going to have to.
Yeah,
there's no way we're not playing.
Yeah, I clearly have to now.
Right. So hopefully it's a good one.
You know, it's like a Mario effect with me. Like, I know like how great Mario is, but it's just not my jam. Forza Horizons or these open world kind of racers in general just aren't my jam. So but this is definitely, from what I've seen today, it's something I'm going to have to, want to or need and need to play and get my hands on for
at least
a while.
Check it out. Like, it looks so cool and just unique and fun that even if you're not a racing fan, you got to check
absolutely
it out. And I think that is what Horizon players have always tried to sort of get across to people, is that like we get it. Like, the open world racer, that the Need for Speeds and the Crew, and like they've given the open world racer a bad name, because I think it's also kind of on them. They always kind of talk about the open world, but like the heart of that game is not the open world. The heart of that game is just driving from point to point. Like, the old GTA games, half the fun was just driving around in those games. Like, some of the missions were not very deep, but it was just cool to live in that city. And that's where Horizon's always special. It's like, yeah, you're gonna drive back and forth all the time, but the world just looks so cool. And they always do a phenomenal job of putting great music in the soundtrack, for the most part. Some of the soundtracks are weaker. Like, 3 didn't have the greatest soundtrack, but you just... you just love being in that world, and you find a car that you really like, you know, and like for me, like I always buy the Lotus Elise. I love that car. I just love driving that car around in these games. I love hitting the turns, and it's just they've stumbled into something very unique and very fun. And I'm super looking forward to that game. It's this year. I think it's November 9th. So game looks awesome. So, I think we should probably start to wrap up. I will say I'm not a fan of doing the whole what wasn't there thing, but I was a little concerned, I guess you could say, that Hellblade and Fable were missing. I thought for sure Hellblade would have been there, and I thought for sure Fable would have been, because Fable, they have been sort of teasing it's a next year game. So maybe they're going to kind of do their own thing on their own time, but those two were sort of the big omissions for me that I was like, I'm sort of surprised. Like, they announced the Series X with Hellblade, and we have not seen anything other than that initial trailer.
The game of show for me was probably, game of show in the sense that I'm hoping they really took the time to build on their previous game, is Outer Worlds 2. I'm looking forward to that game. Yeah,
I like that trailer. Yeah. It was dumb, but I like it.
Yeah, that it looked like they kind of, it looked like they got some more time to work on this premise and off of the premise of the first one. I think the first one was just a great step in the right direction. It just wasn't a lot of meat on the bones in terms of the RPG mechanics. So I'm hoping they really leaned into that this time around. That's kind of like what I'm really kind of hyped for. That and Battlefield, I'm not gonna lie to you, like it just looks dang good.
It does.
Diablo 2 also was spicy.
Yeah, that was kind of, I did not expect Diablo 2 to show up at the Microsoft show.
It was looking spicy.
We knew that game was coming this year, but we didn't know the date, so that was the official release date of it, which is September, right? Yes. September, I think, 21st. So that's cool. I will be playing that game for sure. Diablo 2 is a game. I cannot, like many people that were born in the 90s, Diablo 2 was a moment. and probably people that were born in the 80s too, but that was a moment of my life. A good significant chunk of my life was spent playing Diablo 2. That is not an exaggeration. So I'm going to play that game just for the nostalgia factor. I don't think I'll be diving into it the way I used to, but the cross progression makes it extremely tempting, because then I can play that on Switch, you know, stuff like that. So we'll see. That remake looks really, really cool though. So like I said, I think it was a very strong showing for Game Pass, because that's what they wanted to accomplish. And what they wanted to accomplish was, like, you should be a Game Pass subscriber. And that's what these shows are focused on now. It's no longer just about Xbox. Like, they did show Battlefield. They showed some things that are coming to other platforms like Diablo, but they've made a very good case to why you should have Game Pass and why you should maybe have your home platform be PC or Xbox, whatever. So, good showing. Was not really blown away by anything. There was no surprises or, you know, anything like that. I did notice we didn't say a word about Starfield.
What's there to say?
I don't think there's much to say about it.
There's literally nothing to say about it. And if people are, I mean, are we still getting hyped by Bethesda games? Like, we know how those go. I would say, like, probably the whole Bethesda part was lackluster for me.
Yeah. I do not care about a Bethesda game until I play it. I got nothing. Like, I don't know what else to say. I got nothing.
Yeah, it's just,
it's cool that it's happening. It's cool that it's exclusive to Xbox, but that footage didn't do anything. Like, I just don't care. You know, until I see that game playing, I don't care.
I mean, like, I don't have any real love or hype for any of the properties at this point. Like, even like a new Elder Scrolls, I would have to get my hands on it to appreciate it. I'm not jumping at the bit for any other games, and especially the online stuff, is the expansion packs and whatnot. It's just not, it's almost too little too late in a way. In other ways, I just was never interested in the first place. And then when it comes to stuff like Starfield, I'm just like, you didn't show any significant gameplay. The whole part, like the fact that was even presented as Microsoft and Bethesda, it's like Bethesda.
Kind of weird.
Like,
kind of weird.
Like, you didn't, again, to go full circle, branding, like, it's damn near dead. It just, it doesn't really matter anymore.
Yeah, it's weird. Maybe it's just because where we're at in our lives and we're older, I just called us old. I don't care until I get my hands on the game a lot of times. Like, I understand, I'm not saying that, like, I don't get excited by trailers. I'm not saying that stuff is not important. But a lot of times, I don't know how I feel about a game even a little bit until I get my hands on it. And Bethesda is a game, Bethesda Game Studios is a studio that I've got to wait till I get my hands on it. It's that simple. So, but all right, let's wrap it up. That's going to do it for this episode. You can email us, gpopfans@gmail.com. Let us know what you like, what you didn't like, what you thought about the show. We enjoyed it. I think it was a fun show. Like I said, I was not blown away, but it was a very, very solid, very, very solid showing.
I agree with that completely. I have no... I walked away from it as a Game Pass subscriber, for the most part excited. Not blown away, but looking forward to a lot of stuff coming day one. And I think it was pretty diverse in what they've shown. I think there's a lot of good quality there. They're taking some risks, but at the same time, they're trying to ride a lot of current waves. You see a lot of Fallout guy kind of vibes going, trying to capture that lightning in a bottle aspect. I hope it works for them. I hope all these games prove me wrong, and I'm just completely in love with all of them.
Yeah, me too. So, a lot of cool stuff coming. But all right, again, you can reach out to us gpopfans@gmail.com. You can send us a voicemail, let you know what you thought. 574-651-9256. Again, 574-651-9256. Let us know. Hopefully you had a good time with E3. Square showed off some stuff. That Guardians of the Galaxy, all I'll say is that does not look like a $60 game. We'll see about that one. And if I had to pick one other game so far that I've seen that looks pretty cool, I'm going with Rocksmith Plus. That looks pretty legit. Pretty legit. Right, that's going to do it for this episode of Game Pass or Pass. We'll see you next time with a regular episode, probably on Knockout City.
Good day, sirs.